Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
I'm justified not because I do everything right, but because I put faith in Jesus, and Jesus' holiness makes me holy, not my holiness. My holiness is a fruit, not the root of my relationship with God.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm continuing to teach verse by verse through the book of Romans. This is now into my third week of doing this, and I tell you, this is powerful. On yesterday's program, I covered five verses, which at this rate, I may never get through. But I'm trying to speed up, but I can't make any promises. These are some of the most important things that God has ever shown me. This actually is the explanation of what the true gospel is the book of Romans. I tell you, it's powerful. And I've got this brand new book that we've just released, and it actually has the printed text of the book of Romans in it. And then it has my living commentary, which is a digital commentary that I've been working on for decades. And we have now over 25,000 verses in the Bible that I've written footnotes on. And then it also has my teaching on this. And so you've got that commentary, the Romans portion of that living commentary. Then you've got my teaching on this as well as the actual text in here. This is a powerful book. And we've also got CDs and DVDs of this teaching. But we ended yesterday in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Again, I could spend multiple days on that one verse. The Holy Spirit is the most important thing you can, the receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the most important thing that you can do for getting a revelation of the love of God. My personal testimony, as well as my wife and many people that I know, is that when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I just was baptized in love. Charles Finney said that when he received this baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was like waves of liquid love. And that's definitely accurate. I just wrote something this morning and I said it was like a tsunami hit me and it just overwhelmed me. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you it's nearly impossible for you to really understand the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God. It's beyond human comprehension. You have to have it revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is involved in any person's life, any Christian. Any Christian has the Holy Spirit with them, is what Jesus said, but then there's a difference of having Him in you and then being immersed and baptized in the Holy Spirit. That happened to me March the 23rd, 1968, and I tell you, it just forever changed my life. And if you have not received this baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to receive it. And I know that there's people watching this that think that everybody, you got the Holy Spirit when you got born again. Well, you did. He's with you. But there's a difference in being anointed, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and just having the Spirit working around you and at times touching you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for certain times. But in the New Testament, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to fill you. And one of the things that happens is just like this right here, the love of God is shed abroad. That means that it is just released in you in a powerful way when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many people call this a baptism of love because that is one of the effects of it. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And it goes on to list all of these things. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He just baptizes you in love. It changes everything. And not only your love for other people, we often emphasize that, but it reveals to you God's love for you. One of the reasons that people don't love other people is because you can't give away what you don't have. And if you haven't really received this baptism of love, and if you haven't understood how great God's love towards you is, well, then, of course, you're going to have trouble giving away something that you don't have. You won't be able to love others if you don't understand how much you are loved. Again, I've got a lot of teaching. I could stay on this for weeks. If you would call our helpline, they'll put the number on the screen, but if you would call and ask somebody about what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this baptism of love, I've got a free book that I'll give you that is entitled The New You / Holy Spirit. The first part of that is about what true salvation is. The second half of that book is about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and what happens. It talks about the love of God, and it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as speaking in tongues. And I know that there's people watching this program that you've been told that speaking in tongues is of the devil. I tell you, I've been speaking in tongues for over 50 years. It is an important part of my life. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, forbid not to speak in tongues. It is a godly gift. And when you are speaking in tongues, you are speaking forth the hidden praises, the hidden wisdom of God. You edify yourself, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, and on it goes. It's a powerful experience. If you haven't received that, call that number and pray with someone. And we'll be glad to send you that little book. And also, I tell you, this will change your life. So again, I could stay on that forever. It's so important. In verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Did you know Jesus only died for ungodly people? If you don't admit that you're ungodly, then Jesus didn't die for you. Any person who thinks that you are really a good person and that somehow or another God owes you salvation, you can't be saved. You have to, first of all, come to an end of yourself and your own goodness and trusting in your own goodness before you can receive the goodness of God. Jesus died for the ungodly. In verse 7, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. This is saying that there's very few people that would give their life for another person, but if they're a really good person, there are some people that might sacrifice their life for you. But then it says in verse 8, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. With human natural love, some people might give their life for their mate or for their children or for a good friend, somebody who has done a lot of good things for them. That might happen. But it would be very rare that somebody would give their life for a person that they don't know or a person that's treated them badly. But then it says, but God gave His love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you know if you have received salvation, if Jesus is your Lord, if you know for sure that you are going to heaven, stop and think about how did you receive that? Many of you, it was when you were living a life of sin. You may have been a drug addict, a dope addict. You may have been living in sexual immorality. You were doing your own thing. You were just ignoring all of the conviction of God. And in that state, God commended His love towards you, not when you had it all together, but when you were a mess. You know, we sing this song traditionally at invitations, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And that's 100% true. And this is how all of us came to the Lord. None of us could offer God and say, God, here I am. You need to save me because I deserve it. I'm living better than anybody else. No, nobody approaches God that way. You come realizing that you don't deserve a thing. And the point, we take this verse out of context often. You know, I was raised in the Baptist church, and they taught us what was called the Roman road. And this is one of the verses in that. We would use Romans 3:23, all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And then the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And all of those are true statements, and that is a true statement, what I just read. But Read it in its context. The verses in front of it are saying that there are very few people that would give their life for another person, and there are even less people that would die for somebody who hasn't treated them well, somebody they don't know. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's not the real point that's being made, although that's a great point. The real point that's being made is in the next verse. It says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." The point that's being made is not about Jesus dying for us while we're a sinner. As great as that truth is, and that's certainly more than any of us deserve, the point that's being made is if He loved us enough to die for us when we hadn't done anything for Him, we were living a life of rebellion, we were ignoring Him or either totally rebelling at Him. If He loved us enough to die for us when we had nothing to our credit, much more now does He love us. Now, this is huge. And you know, it wasn't always stated, but in the church that I grew up in, it was actually implied, and most people believe that God loved us less after you get born again than He did before you got born again. That He was harder on His children than He was on unbelievers. And they may not have said it in that way, but that's exactly the way that it was always taught. Before you got born again, you could come to church, and you might have been out all night drinking, carousing, and doing things, but you come to church, you hear a message, you go to the front, and man, all of the Christians would just sit there and say, "Oh, God loves you. God wants to change your life." And as long as they weren't born again, and they'd been out just sleeping around all night, getting drunk, doing dope or whatever, but as long as they weren't born again, the Christians would tell them, "God loves you, and God has a perfect plan for your life." But let that person get born again, and then come back the next week and have done the same thing. Go out and get drunk and sleep around and do some things and come to church and then go down. And the same people that told them how much God loved them as long as they were a sinner before they got born again, if they are now born again, if they have prayed that prayer, they would either do one of two things. They were saying, "You never really committed your life to the Lord," or if you did make a commitment, now the wrath of God is against you. God is going to get you. God won't answer your prayers. It's the exact opposite of what they told them the week before. The week before, if they were not born again, they could do anything. And you'd say, "God loves you." But let them get born again and then come with some sin in their life. Maybe it isn't getting drunk or doing dope. Maybe it's just they didn't read their Bible. And people will sit there and say, "Man, God won't bless you if you don't study the Word, if you don't go to church, if you don't pay your tithes, if you don't do this and this and this, God won't bless you." You know, it's amazing that they could believe for the greatest miracle that you could ever receive, which is the forgiveness of your sins and being born again. And they could do that without any goodness to their credit whatsoever. But let them get born again, and now they've got to do everything right, and if they miss it in the slightest degree, well, no wonder that God hadn't healed them of cancer. It's because they hadn't been to church lately, because they hadn't paid their tithes. You know, I just recently had a man come up to me at our men's advance, and he says, "You probably won't remember this," but he says, about 39 or 40 years ago, he said he and his wife came to me for prayer at a church in Greeley, Colorado. And he said his wife had been pregnant the year before, and she began to start bleeding, and she wound up miscarrying, and they went forward for prayer, and the person told them that it's because you hadn't paid enough tithes. And so here they were a year after that, and she was pregnant again, and she had just started spotting, and it looked like they might be miscarrying again. And they came up to me and asked for prayer. They told me what the person had said the previous year. And he said, "You told us straight out, that's a lie. God did not take that child because you didn't pay your tithes." And then I prayed for them. And he says, "Now our son is 39 years old." Says the day you prayed for, immediately that bleeding quit and the child was born, and he's now 39 years old. But see, this is what a lot of people will do. They'll sit there and say, the reason God hasn't answered your prayers because you haven't done this and this and this. And they usually do this towards the Christians. Towards an unbeliever, they'll say, oh no, God loves you. Even if you're in sin, God may not love the sin, but He loves the sinner. And they will extend mercy towards a person as long as they aren't born again. But once they get born again, boy, now you had better toe the mark or God's going to get you. That's the opposite of what these verses are saying. Let me read this again. Verse 8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, if you could accept God's love when you weren't doing anything right, now that you are doing more right than you were before, you may not still be doing everything right. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And then the 10th verse puts these two thoughts into one verse. It says, for if when you were enemies, you were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, you shall be saved by His life. This is saying if you could accept the greatest gift of salvation when you hadn't been going to church, you hadn't been paying your tithes, you weren't living godly, you may have been blaspheming God, using profanity, doing all kinds of things, and yet you received the greatest gift that could ever be. That's forgiveness of sins. If you accepted that with no goodness to your name, you came singing, just as I am, without one plea, and you put your faith in Jesus, then why would you think after you get born again, it's somehow or another changed? You know, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving, even as ye have been taught. It says that the same way you receive salvation is the same way you should continue to receive everything else that comes as a benefit of salvation. How did you receive salvation? When you had it all together? No. It was when you were a mess. You know, if I was preaching the true gospel, and if a person came forward in an invitation and said, man, I need to be saved. And if I had a word of knowledge and said, God showed me that you're living in adultery. Did you know if they understood salvation, that wouldn't keep them from being saved? They'd say, that's the reason I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. And it wouldn't stop them from being saved. They would recognize that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if they heard the true gospel, they wouldn't let some revelation of their sin stop them from receiving from God. But let a Christian come forward for prayer and let me have a word of knowledge and say, man, God shows me that you're living in adultery. And if they were a Christian, I guarantee you right there, all of their faith would just totally evaporate. They'd say, well, now I know why God won't heal me, why God won't answer my prayer, because I haven't deserved it. Can you understand that that is not the same way that you receive salvation? You receive salvation only as a gift. You didn't deserve it. You hadn't earned it. It was a gift, and you just put faith in God's grace. But when we get saved, the church has somehow or another changed this to where now you've got to earn everything. And you get on this treadmill and start trying to perform and do this. And even if you do well, even if you do better than other people, there's no rest. You can't ever get off that treadmill. It's all based on your performance. I'm telling you, that is not the true gospel. That's what Paul was preaching against. And man, that is just powerful. In verse 11, and he says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Again, these are radical statements that most Christians today, most churches today do not preach these things. They preach the opposite of it. Most people preach that the atonement has been made, but you have to earn it and you have to hold on, and you never can be assured that you've really been saved, that you truly have a relationship with God. This is saying that we joy in God that we have now received the atonement. When you die, you don't just, you know, flip a coin and see which way you go. No, you can have an assurance. It says in 1 John chapter 5, that we have, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we have passed from death unto life. If for some reason you're watching this program and you have a desire, you know that God exists, you have a desire to be in relationship with Him, but you don't have any assurance that you are in relationship with Him, did you know that you can change that? You can absolutely know and have the Holy Spirit bear witness in your heart that you have been born again. You don't have to hope so. Eternity is a long time. It's going to be infinitely longer than this life. And you just can't wish and hope that you are somehow going to spend eternity with God in heaven. You have to make that decision, and you can know with certainty that you now have received the atonement. The word atonement means payment for your sins, that Jesus has paid for your sins and that you do not have to have any uncertainty. You don't have to guess about it. I just know in my heart that there's people all over the world right now that what I'm saying, you've never heard anybody say this. You just think that you do the best you can and hope it's enough. No, that's not so. You can have a born-again experience. You can know that you have passed from death unto life. Jesus has already paid for your sin. Jesus has already made the atonement. But you have to receive that atonement. And when you confess Jesus as your Lord and start speaking that He has forgiven you, God will back that up. And you have an assurance. And especially, I mentioned this earlier, but when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I tell you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just so important to help you to have a relationship with God and to walk with Him. That's what these verses are talking about. Again, I encourage you to call the number that we'll put on the screen. There are people there that will pray with you, and you can know for sure that you have a relationship with God. In verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then there's a parenthetical phrase that comes in here. I'm not going to have time to get through all of this. I'll just introduce this real quickly. But this one man that this is talking about Adam. And here's a radical truth that most people don't understand. It is not your sin that made you a sinner. It's your sin nature that you inherited through Adam that made you sin. The problem isn't what you do. The problem is who you are at your core. And every single one of us was born a sinner. We inherited a sin nature, a nature that was separated from God and was actually rebellious towards God. And that sin nature caused us to sin. If you could understand this, it would answer a lot of questions. Because some people just cannot understand, why is it that I keep sinning? Because you are a sinner. By nature, you have to be born again. You have to get a new nature and literally be delivered from that sin nature in order to start really living the life that God wants you to. And the good news is God wants you to have this born-again experience more than you want to have it. Again, I encourage you to call the number on our screen. There are people that can pray with you. They will help you. These are awesome people. And also, they will give you these products we're talking about. I've got this brand new book on Romans, Paul's masterpiece. We've got DVDs, CDs. We've got testimonies of people's lives that have been changed, and a living commentary, a digital commentary on over 25,000 verses. Listen to our announcer, and he'll give you all this information.
Andrew is pleased to announce the release of his brand new hardback book titled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. This brand new book includes all of Andrew's personal study notes and commentary on the book of Romans, compiled from Andrew's Life for Today Study Bible and Living Commentary. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, is also available in a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Today, you heard Andrew's personal revelation on the book of Romans. You can study through the entire Bible with Andrew when you get his continually updated Living Commentary. Andrew has priced this valuable study tool at only $120. Also today, Andrew's offering the Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs as his free gift to you when you write or call. This special offer is a $50 value, absolutely free when you contact us today. Or you can get each of these valuable resources as part of the Romans package. This package includes Andrew's Living Commentary, as well as the Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, hardback book, your choice of either the CD or DVD album, and Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs. This incredible package has a catalog value of $275, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for just $197. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his book titled The New You and the Holy Spirit. If you've not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Andrew would like to offer the book to you free. This offer is limited to one free book per household and is available in the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia while supplies last. Contact us today to receive this free offer. You can become a Grace Partner or order resources through our website at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, on today's program, I was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving salvation and speaking in tongues. And if you haven't received either salvation and or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would like to encourage you to please call our helpline. We have that number right there on the screen, and we have people waiting to pray with you. We'll also give you some materials that will help you, but I encourage you to call and receive either salvation and or the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to the AWM Minute, a small glimpse at how the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College are bringing healing and freedom to people in every generation. People like Allison Rolla. At 8 years old, Allison was diagnosed with alopecia universalis, a rare and incurable disease that causes the total loss of hair. She was bald for over a decade until one day she was introduced to a message from Andrew Womack.
And I mean, the light bulb went off like, oh, I don't have to do anything to earn healing. I don't have to fast. I don't have to pray. I don't have to beg. I literally do not even have to ask you. You already healed me. And it was so empowering because I was finally free of this works mentality.
Today, Allison is completely healed, and with a full head of hair, she now inspires others to receive their healing in Christ. To watch the full healing journey of Allison Rolla, visit awmi.net today.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on August the 4th through the 7th for Jubilee at Victory Life Church. This is my good friend and board member, Pastor Dwayne Sheriff, that pastors there. I've spoken there before. And this Jubilee is just a special time of praise and worship, casting vision for the coming year. I'm really honored to be a part of it. And Dwayne and a lot of the people on his staff will be speaking. It's going to be a special time. Remember, it's August the 4th through the 7th in Durant, Oklahoma, the Jubilee for Victory Life Church with Pastor Dwayne Sheriff.